Would you please stand as we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. And it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." Then chapter 4, verse 2. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Notice, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Dear Heavenly Father, we read these words and we're concerned that we may even today be in these last days of which you're talking. For we are seeing so many people turn their ears away from the truth and are pleased rather to believe a fable, a lie. Lord, we pray now that you would touch the hearts of each one that are here today. We ask, Lord, that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Pastor David Hubbard says, quote, "Too many today are just playing church," unquote. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We must be careful because we are in a spiritual battle today. Our enemy has been very good at making people feel guilty when they stand up for what is an absolute. Our enemy has made us question the creation of the worlds, the creation of life. Our enemy has made us question the sanctity of marriage. Our enemy has made us question right and wrong. But we need to realize that God has a way, that he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, in the house of Israel their sins." In too many churches today, it's come as you are and leave as you were, instead of come as you are and let the Lord change you. Too many churches today have stopped teaching the need to repent and to change. And the fact of the matter is, repentance is necessary. Jesus Christ preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The disciples proclaimed the need of repentance. The Apostle Paul said that we need to repent. And down through the years, the cry has been, repent and get right with God. Today, you don't have to get right with God. He has to get right with you. I mean, after all, what right does he have to tell you how to live? I have 7 thoughts this morning. And thought number 1, any church that does not magnify the Word of God is playing church. any church that does not magnify this book. I was given a DVD to watch of a church service. The person giving it to me said, you need to watch this. And so I turned it on, and after the entertainment section, the pastor finally got up. He used half a verse. Half a verse, the whole sermon, half a verse. Folks, this is why we're here, the Word of God. We're here to proclaim the gospel truth. And if a church is not proclaiming the gospel truth, they are playing church. And that pastor will be held responsible for not proclaiming the truth of the living God. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, if you would look at that, you may want to underline it in your Bible. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. The Bible is necessary, not just on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, but throughout the week. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The word of God is necessary that salvation is proclaimed. Good works will not get us into heaven. Baptism will not get us into heaven. We find church membership is not going to get us there. Because I attend a Baptist church my whole life, that's not going to get me into heaven. I need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 tell us that holy men of God were moved and the scriptures were written. We need to follow the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration, it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So any church that does not magnify the word of God is playing church. And a place that only pretends to be church is not helping the cause of Christ. Number two, carnal-minded Christians are just playing church. Church. Three of the churches there in the book of Revelation have thoughts that would make us realize that for a while they were playing church. The church of Ephesus was told, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus Christ ought to be our first love. Well, okay, I'll say that again. Jesus Christ ought to be our first love. Donna Jean Derringe is my first love. Okay? The other day I left the dentist office and came home, and I have a new dentist. The dentist I had retired. We graduated high school together. I don't know how he can retire and I can't. Something's wrong with that. And the new dentist is a female, a young female. And when I came home, I told Donna, I said, the dentist invited me out for lunch. What'd you say? Do you remember? And that's not what you said, but I'm not going to repeat what you said. See, Donna's my first love. Well, what would happen if I said, well, you know, there's someone else I think I might be interested in. Do you think... That wouldn't be good, would it? No, it wouldn't be good. Well, when it comes to churches, we ought to have a love, and that love ought to be Jesus Christ. That's why we gather together to proclaim Jesus Christ. We are to do good works, not for salvation, but because of our salvation. And this church, the church there at Ephesus, had left their first love. Something else had become more important. I made a visit yesterday on a person that used to be a member of our church, And I said to him, I said, well, where are you going to church now? He says, well, I'm not going anywhere. I don't need that stuff anymore. That's what he said. I don't need that stuff anymore. And then he said, if I told you what I really feel, you'd get upset. And I said, listen, you haven't told me anything. Someone hasn't already told me. He thought someone had been tattling on him. And I had to make him sure that he realized that, no, people have excuses for not going to church. But the fact of the matter is we need Jesus Christ, because we're in a battle, a spiritual battle. And there are too many carnal Christians who want to live like the world, but on Sunday morning show up and act all pious and say, well, I'm all right. But we are to be different. The church of Sardis was told, I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest, and art dead. The church of Laodicea was condemned because they were only lukewarm. I wonder what a lukewarm church is. Do you remember what the Lord said he would do to the church of Laodicea because they were lukewarm? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I wonder what we are. That'd be nice to say we're a hot church, right? That we're on fire for God. We certainly don't want to be a cold church. But the Lord made it clear that he didn't want us to be lukewarm. So we don't want carnal Christians playing church. Number three, those that worship the structure are just playing church. Quickly over to the book of Luke, if you would, please. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. Those that are looking at the building and saying, oh, what a nice structure. Oh, what a nice facility. And may I say this, isn't it nice that we have air conditioning in our building? Any of you want me to turn this unit off? Because I could turn it off right now. But you're glad it's on, aren't you? And in the winter, aren't you glad we have heat? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad the lights are on? No, I can turn the lights off. Oh, you're glad they're on, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad for a comfortable building. But this is just the building. Where's the church? We're the church. The people. We could all meet at one of our houses and there would be the church. But there are those who were impressed by the building. If you would, the book of Luke chapter 21 verses 5 and 6. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, all, as for these things which ye behold, the day will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. We know that some 70 years later, Titus would bring in his army and they would put down the city of Jerusalem and they would destroy the temple. But did that mean that religion and the religious services would end? It would not. If they came in and razed this building this week, it would not keep us from worshiping. We are the church. But there are those who get caught up in the structures of a building. Number four, any church that does not magnify prayer is playing church. What happens tonight at 5:30? We have prayer service. Some say it's the most important service of the week. 5:30, prayer service. Praying for people like Brother George Farmer. He'd been ill for 4 months, different issues. They put him back in the hospital yesterday. We have prayer service tonight at 5:30 for people like Brother Farmer. The fact of the matter is prayer needs to be part of our lives. Luke 18:1 says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus praying. Luke in the book of Acts showed that the early church prayed. Paul and Peter in the epistles exhorted those early believers to pray. May I say this? We need to pray. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would wonder how many of you prayed that Paul Madonna would have a halfway decent sermon this morning. And if you don't think it's halfway decent, did you pray for me? You say, I prayed 12 times for you, Pastor Paul. What's wrong? Well, think of what it would be if you didn't. But we need to pray for the pastor. You need to pray for Pastor Stephen. He has to put up with me. Yeah, you should pray for his wife because she has to put up with him because he puts up with me. You know, that you need to pray for us. You need to pray for our missionaries. We get the letters and they come in and some of them you can feel the burden in their hearts because of what is going on. One of our missionaries has just returned from Papua New Guinea because it's time for his furlough and his wife has been struggling with health issues. How would you like to live in Papua New Guinea where the only electricity you have is the generator outside your house? There is no running water. There are no paved roads where they're at. They have someone that's filling in for them for 1 year. One of the first things that happened is someone in the village was murdered. And they have to put up with the thoughts of taking care of the family who's had someone murdered. We pray for our missionaries. Pray for one another. And so we need to magnify prayer. Number five, any church that is not directed by the Holy Spirit is playing church. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, that being the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I want to be careful how I say this, but it sickens me when I think of what some churches teach from behind their pulpits. Those churches that teach that you have to earn your salvation by your good works. That sickens me because that is a lie of the devil. You are not saved by good works. You are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are saved because Jesus Christ willingly died on the cross because you are a lost sinner and I am a lost sinner. And the only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And yet there are churches that are taught, that teach that Jesus did part of it and you have to do the rest. Well, let me tell you something. I know me. And if I had to do the rest, you know, I would fail. You say, Pastor Paul, what are you saying? I know I would not get it done if I had to do part of my salvation. I would fail. God has provided a way of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God. Do you work for a gift? You don't work for a gift. A gift is something it is given to you. But do you have to accept the gift? You must accept the gift. You must take it. It's a gift. And I'm sorry for those who are taught that there is a way you can get into heaven other than Jesus Christ. But he is the way and the only way. Any church that fails to stir up racket against the work of the devil is playing church. We should not have to tolerate evil behavior. We should not have to tolerate teachings that are anti-Bible. And the problem is they want us to feel guilty that we have convictions, but we need to have convictions. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for society. He gave us the Word of God so that we know how we arrived at this point in time. There is a purpose in our lives. The problem with evolution is there's no purpose. We live and we die and that's it. But that's not true. I was reading an article, and they were talking about the planets Saturn and Neptune, and they were talking about that they have found out that these are still young planets. And there's no way they could be millions of years old. Have you noticed that all the history of man is found in the last 6,000 years? Have you noticed that? What does the Bible say that we've been around? About 6,000 years. But we don't have any history beyond that. Well, why? Because we were created 6,000 years ago. But the thing is, we have to tolerate it. My wife and I, we were coming back from Minnesota. We stopped at the Dells in Wisconsin. Anybody ever been to the Dells in Wisconsin? We stopped there, and we're on the boat, and they're taking us the tour, and they're talking about the millions of years. And afterwards, I went up to the person that was giving out the spiel, and I said, you know, I don't believe a word you said. And he looked at me, and he says, you know, I don't either. But he says, I get paid to say it. I told him I'd get a different job. You know, they just spew it out as if it's, well, it's just the way it is. But it's not the way it is. We find that we are told you have to tolerate sin. That same person wouldn't take their car to one of the dealerships to get it fixed after an accident and have them hand back your car with a red fender if the rest of your car was white. And when you complain, well, why is the fender red? My car is white. And they look at you and say, well, you have to be tolerant. Well, what do you mean? Well, that's what I had. So you have to accept it. How about this one? You open up your green beans. And inside that can that says green beans, there are peas. And you take it back to Kroger's or Meijer's or wherever you got your can of what you thought was green beans, and you said, well, there's peas in here. And they said, well, you just have to be tolerant. What do you think I would do? You know, the fact of the matter is we aren't tolerant of these things, and yet we're told to be tolerant of sin. The fact of the matter is we should be up in arms over these things. And we're really not. We accept it. I'm going to read something to you. Pastor Stephen brought it in. He said, you may want to use this. So I'm going to use it. It's from the American Family Association. It says, Dear Stephen, do you know these people personally? Never met them. Never met them. Well, they know you, Dear Stephen. And Tim writes, America is in serious spiritual trouble. And Christians no longer have the luxury of staying out of the fray when it comes to public policy and moral issues. Now, some talk about separation of church and state. When Thomas Jefferson wrote that letter, he was telling us that the government would not mess around with the church. Not that the church would not mess around with the government. And so when you take the church out of government, you have what we have today. A mess. Okay? But it says, unless the followers of Christ recommit to being salt and light in our communities, our nation will be totally given over to godless secularism, and sooner rather than later. But the sad fact is that too many are not arming themselves with biblical weapons of battle. Many don't even seem to be reading their Bibles or hearing trustworthy preaching and teaching. Is it any wonder the secular culture is influencing Christians more than Christians are influencing the culture? A recent survey from Barna Group found that 51% of churchgoers don't even know the term Great Commission. Now, I would hope that would not be said of anyone that attends the Covenant Baptist Church. We should know what the Great Commission is. Amen. And the Great Commission is to take the Word of God, correct? Amen. But 51% don't even know what it means. It means they go to churches where missions is of no importance. How can there be such widespread ignorance about our mission to reach the world for Christ? Even more interesting is the Barna survey found that only 10% of church-going millennials said that they have heard of and remember the Great Commission. That's alarming. Only 1 in 10 young people aged 22 to 37 know the central mission of the church. America needs revival. But the problem is too many people are playing church. They come to church on Sunday morning and they leave afterwards and nothing has changed. So that leads me to point number 7. Any church that is not interested in seeing souls saved at home and around the world is just playing church. Number one concern of young men and women trying to get to the mission field is finding churches that are willing to support them. What I find is that too many churches are not showing any faith whatsoever. We are to have faith in the Lord that He will provide. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." James 2:20 says, "Faith without works is dead." We need to have a vision. There can be a change. You say, "Pastor Paul, how do you know this?" This is how I know this. Jesus Christ, when He ascended into heaven, had how many disciples? He had 11 disciples. One had gone out and what? Hung himself. 11 men. And they changed the world. They changed the world. Can we change the world? We can do our part in Sterling Heights and Utica and Shelby and Rochester Hills and Rochester and Clinton Township and Macomb and Troy. We can do a difference, can't we? We can make a change. But we can't play church. Church has to be important. Shall we stand together? I like meeting here on Sunday morning with you people. But there needs to be a reason for us to be here. And that reason is to serve the Lord. That reason to send forth the gospel from this lighthouse, this outpost of faith, that we are used of Him. In just a moment, we'll be having a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come into the altar and pray and ask the Lord to direct the Covenant Baptist Church, to direct you to be used of Him. You can pray here at the altar. You can sit in the front pew. Let's pray that we're not just playing church. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that Your hand would be upon us as we have this invitation time. Use us, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.